Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, June 14th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, gold had a fairly nice day today, but my system shut down temporarily, so let me bring it up right here. Oh, don't you love this new technology? Boy, we're so dependent on it.
You need a new hand crank for that.
Gold today didn't need a hand crank. 190 to the upside, 190 to the upside at $1,286.70. Silver, though, didn't do as well, down 0.04 at $1,746. Platinum was down 15 at $979. Both the two white industrial metals mainly were down significantly, with the palladium down $10, $539. Let's see, where else do I go from here? The USDX today was stronger, 0.57 at 94.96. Crude oil was down 47 at 48.41. And the market closed today. There was pressure on it. Most of the time it was down triple digits. It did manage to claw its way back, but it was still down 57 points at 17,674. The NASDAQ was down 5 points at 4,843. The S&P was down 4 at 2,075. 10-year yield, 1.61%. The euro, 112, that was down 0.72. And Asian and European markets, London was down over 2%, again, due to the concern over the possible Brexit. Germany was down 1.5%. But a lot of discussions and information coming out there about Britain. And I actually heard when I was working, and I had the radio on a little bit, and I heard someone on this Brexit talk about if they don't leave, it will cause riots, a revolution. It will cause blood in the streets.
I think that I think there might be some point to that. I'd say that's a certain amount of hype again. But I think the people that are hyping that as if they're going to have some sort of economic collapse if they do leave.
But this
I think
guy
that's
was actually for it, yeah.
Fear mongering. They're trying to scare people. You got to leave. You got to stay in it, or the world is going to come to an end. Oh, bonk! It's not.
Well,
gonna,
the
But if Britain's... they don't leave, I can see where civil disobedience and some sort of agitation is possible.
Britain's best-selling newspaper, The Sun, they came out and backed the an out vote. And so we'll see what goes on. And there was one report that I saw, you know, we were talking about what would happen to their economy and so forth. And mainly they want to take back control of the money that they send to the union, to the European Union is one of the main focuses, along with immigration. You know, they see it going into, you know, useless spending, university research, farm subsidies, cutting taxes on fuel, increasing spending on the national health services. So, you know, they want to... they don't want to pay into that anymore. And, of course, what's not mentioned there is the high cost of the immigration that Germany has taken on and that they've, you know, sloughed off to Greece and a lot of these other places. And certainly, again, Greece's debt, they don't want to supply money to these countries that are basically pretty close to defaulting. So they want to avoid any of those circumstances. So they might not be tied, so to speak, to the euro, but yet they are affected by the money that is given to the European Union. And yes, Al?
No, go ahead.
Overnight, I mean, on Friday, the German Bund, that was ready to go negative, and that was accomplished overnight in overnight trading. Germany's 10-year bund yield dropped 3 basis points, or 0.03 percentage point to minus 0.01. So again, investors who are who buy and hold the securities until their due date will get back less than what they paid. Another crazy sign of $10 trillion that is getting negative rates, negative yield rates. Yeah.
And you know what's ridiculous about that? Is if you take junk bonds, because they're junk and they are highly risky, they pay maximum insurance or interest rates, right? You might get a junk bond that's paying 15, 20% interest, but you might not ever get a dime out of it. You take it, it's purely a gamble. You get bonds that are higher quality and regarded as, you know, gilt edge bonds and so on. You might get a bond that's paying 2% interest because it is regarded as very safe. Okay? It's not risky the way a junk bond is. But when we get a negative interest rate, the implication is that they think so highly of these bonds that these things are virtually guaranteed. Nothing. There is no risk. None whatsoever. Well, it's just insane. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, say, oh, there's no risk here. There's so little risk that you're going to have to pay us to invest our money, your money, in our bonds. Crazy.
What it shows me is they're willing to accept negative return. That is how scared, that is how concerned they are of the world banking system, monetary system, that they're willing to lose money. And what I find interesting is if here are these people, they put their money getting negative rates because they think it's a safe haven because there isn't anything else out there that they feel is as secure, which means if they think that the world is that insecure, how would they think that their money, even if they're getting negative rates, would still be safe because it's with a government? They're running into a safe haven to protect them from exactly that will affect the governments and their monetary policies.
Well, I look at it, I can see that people are motivated by some sort of fear. I'll give you that. But they're also motivated by a profound ignorance. I mean, you look at people say, you're so scared you're going to invest in these bonds, right? And you're willing to invest at negative interest rates?
Safe haven.
You be dumb.
Yep.
Right?
That's what I mean. It doesn't.
It's not just fear.
They're going
an almost phenomenal level of ignorance. I mean, how did they ever sell that to people? You know, and we'll take your used car off your hands, but you have to pay us to take the used car. Right? Would you like to trade this used car in? You're buying a new Cadillac. You got a used car. Want to trade it in on the Cadillac? Fine.
It isn't.
We'll take it, but you got to pay us.
It isn't ignorance, Al. It's money.
Well, partly.
It's money, 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 money. They talk people into going into these so they can earn commissions. They could care less. I mean, the people who sell these bonds, they could care less about whether, you know, the people's funds going in there are really at risk or not. They sell the pitch as a safe haven. The people that are selling this, they're just making money.
And the people that are buying it are people who, in a sense, can't think for themselves and don't have the courage of their own to trust their own eyes and ears.
Well, these are
not going to take personal responsibility. They want somebody to come in and tell me what to do. Tell me what to do.
You know, it's institutional buying. It's pensions. And, you know, a lot of people don't have any control over their retirement accounts and so forth.
Oh, I get that.
You know, all they get is their quarterly statements. And, you know, if it's down, it's like, oh, shoot. You know,
they operate on the assumption that these institutions are managed by people who really know what they're doing.
That really care.
And maybe even care about the stockholders.
And they don't. They only care.
No, they don't. They care about, the only thing they care about is that they get a bonus. They get a bonus and they get a raise. And that's it. They are exploiting the corporations. I mean, the whole thing. You know, Diogenes allegedly had a hard time walking around with his lamp trying to find an honest man. He would be particularly perplexed in this economy. All right.
Well,
among the presidents and CEOs of major financial institutions and corporations.
Well, you can find an honest woman here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And that's why you don't hear sensationalism coming from this program or when we educate people on gold and silver coins. But the people that I find that should be a little, I hate to call them ignorant, but they should take an active role in their own money.
It's not just,
you know,
it's also just a question of courage.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to be able
to.
You look at it. Here is objective reality. What are you going to do about it? You going to wait for somebody to save you, or you're going to save yourself? All right. It takes courage to face up to some truths and even fundamentals that are perhaps hard to believe at times. Certainly hard to believe, painful to believe, but nevertheless, if you want to make do, you know,
you hear comments about people buying the German bund because they're buying these bunds as a hedge against uncertainty. Folks, I'd rather have gold all day long against the uncertainty that we face today. The uncertainty that we face today isn't just one little country ready to go belly up. It is the world that is ready to go belly up. And I would much rather have gold as a hedge against uncertainty than any negative yield on a government bond.
A debt instrument. They're nothing but a promise to pay. They are nothing but a promise to pay. A piece of paper. Somebody signs it and he said, here is the Boy Scout symbol. See this? This is the Boy Scout sign. And you know you can trust me. I'm going to sign my name and promise to you. Give me the money now and I'm going to give you a piece of paper. Come on.
Not only that, Al, Japan's yield, that fell to an unprecedented minus 0.175. You also have Australia and New Zealand. They also touched fresh lows. So again, anyway, this is the world that we live.
And here's something that kind of applies. Here's something from Business Insider, and the headline is George Soros is bearish for one simple reason. Last week, Wall Street Journal reported that after a long hiatus, George Soros has returned to trading, lured by opportunities to profit from what he sees as coming economic troubles. All right? Now, some of you may recall that Baron Rothschild pointed out, when you get into investing, you want to buy when the blood is running in the streets. and everybody's convinced the whole thing is going to hell, and the only solution is to sell everything you got for anything you can get for it and make a run for it to someplace. I don't know, Tahiti, for all I know. And he says, that's time to buy. That's what Rothschild said. And that's exactly what Soros is doing. He sees big trouble coming, and he's getting ready to scoop things up when people start dumping their products at low prices. Point. How do you take advantage of the blood running in the streets, figuratively speaking? You have to have savings. You have to have savings. Now, how many of you think you can have savings that are denominated in debt instruments, like bonds, for example, in a world where there's more debt than can ever possibly be repaid? I'm guessing 80, 90%, I've said this for several years, I'm guessing that 80 to 90% of the existing debt instruments will wind up being invalidated. If you got a debt instrument for $10,000 or $100,000, you're going to get 10, 15, maybe 20 grand for it in terms of purchasing power before this thing is all over. That's on average. Some of them you'll get the full deal, but on average, you're going to lose 80 to 90% of the purchasing power of your paper debt instruments. It won't hold up as savings. What's going to hold up as savings? Something tangible. And if you want savings that are tangible and liquid, you are looking for gold and silver. You want to put your savings into it. I look at this, and it's going to be tragic. It's going to be laughable. It's going to be the sort of thing where people, ordinary people, one of the things in this article, it says here, he's talking to Stan Druckenmiller, who was Soros's folio manager, primary manager for much of the last, who knows, 15, 20 years, I don't know how long. But he says 80% of the big money we made was in bear markets and equities. He's talking, when the trouble hits the fan, that's when you have an opportunity, provided that you have some savings. That's when you can buy homes for a fraction of the price it cost to build them. That's when you can get cars for a fraction of the price that they had otherwise been retailing for. But you got to have savings. And if you are going to be one of the people who are going to keep your savings, which is to say the assets that you've accumulated by dint of hard work or dumb luck, but if you've saved something over the years, how are you going to preserve those savings? In a piece of paper with somebody's signature on it when there's more debt than can ever be paid? We're going to see bankruptcies and bankruptcies and bankruptcies before this is done. And there's not going to be a way, and people who are having bonds, stocks, for the most part, in my opinion, are going to lose their assets, or at least most of them. You want to be able to, if the trouble is coming, If you subscribe to the Rothschild idea that you buy when the blood is running in the street, what are you going to buy with? All right? And I'm going to bet you that you're not going to easily buy with paper. If you want to be in a position to buy, you need something tangible. If you want something liquid that people will accept, you're looking for gold and silver coins.
And the amount of money that the government is spending in order to support their slow growth economies, that's poised to grow by more in 2016 than any year since 2009. Well, that's greater than probably ever since this country was formed. The governments around the world are spending more this year than since 2009.
And what are they
getting at the peak of the crisis?
What are they getting for it? What makes them think it's going to work any better than it did?
It isn't working, or they wouldn't be having negative rates for their bonds.
I understand. It's just evidence that the stuff
it's crazy.
Is on the verge of hitting the impeller.
You folks should
get ready for it. We need to get ready for some commercials.
Fine, be that way, Al.
It's
be that
time,
way.
Melody. I feel like I'm
when
at
I
the
MMA. Talk,
it's
you,
time.
When I want to talk, you go to the break.
Yes. Any port in the storm, what can I say? All right, Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next?
We had a tremendous response on those Silver Eagles yesterday, and all of those of you who purchased the Silver Eagles at that great price, you guys were very smart. I mean, that was at an incredibly low price for Silver Eagles. I have a small batch of silver rounds, very nice silver rounds. We're going to sell those today at, $18.25. That's a heck of a deal. For 1 ounce silver rounds, we have a limited supply of those at that price, $18.25. So call us at 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And I talked to Carla prior to the program. I says, well, we'll sell them for $18.40 was the special. So I changed it during the program. I was moved to change it to $18.25. So make sure you tell her that I did change. If she didn't hear the program, make sure that you tell her that I changed the price to $18.25. So make sure they're sold before I get off the program today, folks. 800-375-4188.
You know, when we broke, I was reading something from this article. George Soros is bearish for one simple reason. And again, this is Stan Druckenmiller, former lead portfolio manager for Soros. He says 80% of the big money we made was in the bear markets and equities because crazy things were going on in response to what I would call central bank mistakes. Now, when he says what I would call, implicitly saying, I'm going to call it central bank mistakes, maybe it's central bank stupidity, or maybe it's central bank treason, but I'm going to call it mistakes for now, during a 30-year period. And he goes on, he says, by most objective reason measures, and he's talking about now, we are deep into the longest period ever of excessively easy monetary policies. All right? That's a good observation. What's the implication? The implication is if we have had the longest period ever of excessively easy credit, all right, right up to and including subprime mortgages and subprime loans on automobiles. We are deep into the longest period ever of excessively easy monetary policies. The implication is that one way or another, the easy credit is going to disappear. And all those whose lives and businesses and incomes depend on credit are going to be impoverished or perhaps even ruined. How will the easy credit disappear? Could be destroyed by deflation. And when you have deflation, you have to pay off your debts with more valuable dollars. And if you borrow $100,000 and you have 10% deflation, you're going to pay off you're going to pay $110,000 in purchasing power. You still pay the numerically, that's still $100,000 principal that you're repaying. But in terms of purchasing power, in terms of value, you're repaying $110,000. And for many people, that extra 10 grand is enough to push them into bankruptcy. Collectively, deflation can drive a lot of people into bankruptcy. And when we do, who's going to lend any money? Who wants to borrow money in a time of deflation? More importantly, who wants to borrow in a time of deflation when you know I'm going to have to pay this off in more expensive dollars? People won't want to borrow money. And the other thing that could happen, credit could be destroyed by creditors who no longer trust in government, corporations, or consumers to repay their loans and therefore stop lending. Point again comes back to, if there isn't going to be any credit, well, I won't say there won't be ever be, I can't say there's won't be any credit, but there will be a substantial reduction in credit. That's the implication. If that's true, if you can't get credit and we're caught in some sort of a recession and or depression where you can't produce wealth, then how do you get through that difficult period and perhaps even prosper during that difficult period? And you do so based on your savings. All right? If the credit disappears and people and their productivity disappears or is at least badly diminished, how do you get through? How do you profit? Savings, savings, savings. And if you're going to save in terms of paper debt instruments, as I've explained previously, you know, at a time when 80-90% of them are going to be repudiated, you're just, how are you going to, your savings just wiped out. And therefore, what works for savings? Gold and silver coins.
And I don't want to spend this whole segment, you know, talking about the various different types of gold investments that are being touted out there, but there's a ton of them. They draw all their commentary is based on the things that Al and I talk about on this program, the low interest rates, the bubbles, the bonds, the markets, you know, everything's going to crash, the debts that governments owe. They draw you in. People think, oh, yeah, I want gold. They're seen with pictures of holding gold bars and everything else. They're just carnival barkers to get you in thinking that you want to protect what you have. And that's what you want to do. You want to protect what you have. But you're not going to protect it to the degree you at least have to be diversified. Gold stocks aren't going to do it. Penny stocks aren't going to do it. Bonds aren't going to do it. Cash isn't going to do it. All of these invests, they pitch you for gold, and then they sell you everything but.
They sell you a piece of paper.
They sell
all
you
right?
a piece. They might
well,
give
I'm
you,
just, well,
they
I'm
might,
just.
They might give you 5% of physical gold, maybe 10 at the most, but
and
what
we'll
is that going
to send
do
it to you? If you ever need it, drop us a line and we'll put it in the mail.
We'll put it in Switzerland, or we'll put it at the Perth Van, or we'll put it, you know, on Mars, and it'll be protected for whenever it'll protect you from the government. Really? Well, who's going to protect you from them?
Exactly. You know, if we're coming into a situation and you have to make your own decisions, there are people who will, they want to go into gold penny stocks, okay, juniors and rest of that. I get that. All right, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. But you have to make up your own mind what kind of risks you want to assume. But if you are interested in protecting the wealth you have accumulated up until now, not interested necessarily in making a fast buck, sit back and say, I'm going to preserve my wealth. I'm going to preserve my savings because I think a very difficult time is coming when savings will be vital. All right? If you're going to preserve your savings, you're going to put your savings into what you think is tangible, that's likely to survive and do well in the event that this whole debt scheme collapses.
If you want to speculate, understand the speculation and get it insured. And don't get caught up with all these. I mean, I've never seen so many crazy pitches. So many, you know,
they're selling pieces of paper. What gets me. Says, look here, this is a gold bar. If you send us $5,000, we'll give you a piece of paper.
Yeah.
If all you're getting is a piece of paper, you are in jeopardy.
Don't let them flash
a gold bar at you and then sell you a piece of paper. I don't. It's just a promise to pay at a time when most of the promises can't be kept. This one, whatever one I'm talking about, is a hypothetical example. It might be kept. I won't say that all the promises are going to backfire, but I think most of them are. So
someone told me they read a book where they said the best place to store your metals was in the Texas depository. Hey, that's just great. When are they going to build it?
Yeah,
so what do you do in the meantime? What kind of advice?
I've read the law on it.
What kind of advice is that?
I've been eager to see when the Texas Depository came into being. Right? And they've been dragging their heels, and I don't know what's going on, but I read the relevant law about constructing it. And I'm not going to go into it here.
Well, they're getting various bids on it and so forth, and most likely it's going to be tied to the COMEX. You know, so that's what I've been reading. So
COMEX is even here anymore. I mean, there's reason to wonder how much longer COMEX is going to be here.
But my point is, through all the whole point is their recommendation. Now, I didn't read the book. This was someone told me, you know, I don't know if, but they said, don't store it anywhere else but the Delaware Depository. Well, if you call the guy up and say, well, the depository isn't there yet, he'll say, well, here, we've got this other plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so folks, you know, and my last one, and then we're going to move on, Al.
Oh, you say that, but are you sincere?
This interview, I don't want to get in trouble with, I'm not, so there's supposed to be this interview on the telephone, and you sign up with this expert from overseas and so forth. Someone sent me an email last week on this topic that's supposed to be done or held this evening in Zurich.
You're talking about a sales pitch right now, and you don't want to identify
the sales.
Well,
it's supposed to be an interview. I can say this. It's supposed to be an interview with, quote-unquote, Goldfinger, all right? Now, I went to sign up because I wanted to listen to it, and I would tell you, folks, if it was good, I would tell you. If it was bad, I would tell you. I would give you my opinion. So I was signing up for it. And, you know, put your email in, and you have to go to the next page. And the next page, you had to put in your cell number. I don't give anybody my cell phone number, particularly online. So I started reading the print. Oh, we'll send you a reminder about the program this evening, and then we'll send you a, you know, to connect. But you're going to be charged for that connection from Zurich. I would have to assume that's a big charge, or you'll end
not
up with
if you
a pretty
Skype. If
well, this is
Skype
cell phone.
Number,
Al, this
talk.
Is cell phones.
No, I understand.
This is cell phones, specific cell phones. So they have your number, and then of course at the bottom you could, you know, click another button if you want to be contacted and so forth. So you do have to be careful, folks. You do have to read the fine print.
Did they give any clue to how much they would be charging per minute?
No, but none at all.
And it's just wide open.
It's wide open.
I mean, this is like someone getting you to call on their 900 number.
And you know, well, that's probably what it is. You know they'll get a percentage of it. They're not doing it for nothing.
No,
even Al said you contacted the same people, and they wanted to charge $1,500.
Yeah, they had a special program that you could charge $1,500, which I did not sign up for. And the following day, because I didn't sign up, they said, we see that you didn't sign up. We're making a special offer. Well, you could sign up today for $500. Well, I don't know. You know, it's... You know, what this is, all of these programs are an attempt to relieve people of the obligation of doing their own thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put some monkey with a banana on the other end of the telephone line and let people talk to the monkey, and the monkey will say bye-bye, sell, whatever he says, as if the monkey is some sort of a prophet or a guru. The truth of the matter is you would be better off to take a little personal responsibility for your own situation, your own savings, your own investments. It's not easily done. We all have to be educated. We have to get to a point where we at least think we're educated and we can make semi-intelligent decisions. It's not easy, but you got to be careful. If you're talking to somebody who's hired a monkey to sit on the other end of the telephone and grunt, should I buy? Should I sell? Ooh, ooh, ooh. You need to discern what the monkey said. All right? You got to take responsibility. And if you're not willing to do that, you are susceptible to the sales pitches of the various, you know, gurus, prophets.
Well, you know, Al, when I was doing programs with Bob Chapman, I was called the gold diva. Should we do a telephone call with the gold diva?
You're going to have to
get a 900 number.
We're going to have to get a crystal ball, and you're going to have to wear one of those headdresses.
I'll polish it. I'll polish my crystal ball.
You look like a gypsy.
I have a crystal ball. I'll just get it out and polish it, though.
All right. Good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, probably we're not going to do that. That's probably just joking.
You know what? We probably should, because we do tell the truth. And we don't sensationalize anything. We, we analyze the news from various places. And we're probably more correct when it comes to any type of predictions and what we see coming as the future, because we don't become involved in sensationalism and just trying to get you to call. And so we probably should do one of those programs. I know I'm not under Gold Diva, but I'm certainly, we've talked about it many, many times, doing some sort of what are they called? Webinars, something.
Webinars, there's a bunch of things. Yeah. There are a bunch of ways that go at it, but I don't know. The way things are today, I think I think people are becoming increasingly knowledgeable.
No, I disagree.
In this regard, well, I may be wrong. You know, I mean, the odds are against me. But I have the feeling that people, I don't mean that they know what's going on, but they are increasingly aware of when they're just flat out being hustled.
I don't know. These guys are good. Mm. They're professional salespeople, and it's very easy to succumb to their tactics.
I agree.
That is why they're
I think
very,
there's
very
a growing
wealthy.
Number, not a majority, but
and they've all come from
number.
Wall Street. They've all been groomed from Wall Street. A lot of these guys have been groomed from Wall Street. Not to say they're all from Wall Street, but many of them are, the ones that we're talking about. And
or Congress or the Senate.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm talking
White
about
House advisors,
the people that we've talked to, and
CIA insiders.
Yeah. Anyway,
you know, it's like I visited Washington D.C. one time about 10 years ago, and went to the
president.
Jefferson Memorial, and I guess that makes me a founding father insider. Let's take a break for more commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture and Tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And what's next, Melody?
The only thing I had was the student loans, but everybody knows that they've quadrupled for $1.2 trillion up until today. And, a big portion of that investment has turned toxic.
Yep.
It's very much like the housing crisis.
Debts can't be paid, won't be paid.
Exactly. The government has helped finance tens of millions of tuitions. It's just another 2x4 floating your way. And of course, this is why all these kids, they were all for Bernie mainly because of free tuition. Well, who in the heck's going to pay for this $1.2 trillion? And, that's going to default. It will be defaulted on. So just another little bubble there, folks.
Here's an article from the Daily Bell. Headline is Trump takes strong anti-Islam position after Orlando shooting. Donald Trump's scaremongering response to Orlando shooting is the opposite of what America needs. The gunning down of dozens of partygoers in a gay club in Florida showed, he wrote, that he had been right on the radical Islamic terrorism. All right? Donald Trump is blaming radical Islam for the recent Orlando shooting, and I'm not saying that he's wrong. All right? I don't doubt that that played a role in here. But I think one of the other things you've got to consider is this guy wasn't just Islamic. He was apparently also gay.
Yeah.
This is a gay guy shooting up. Now it's a different, this changes things to some degree, but in any cases, Trump's claim, blaming this on radicalism, is it any more irrational than President Obama trying to blame everyone except the Muslims? He says, you got another article that I might get to before we run out of time here, but he says it's our fault. We the Americans are all responsible for creating some climate of hate. What I wonder is whether the government is responsible. Assuming Obama's logic were correct, is the government responsible for creating a climate of hate when they moved our jobs and our industries to third world countries? Do you suppose that contributed to any hate? What about the fact that government doesn't protect our borders from an invasion by illegal aliens? Do you suppose that is contributing to a climate of hate? Get the plank out of your own eye before you start telling us how to work with a splinter that might be in ours. In any case, is Trump's claim any more irrational than President Obama trying to blame everyone except the Muslims. Everyone's got their spin on this mass shooting. Nobody really gives a damn about the dead queers. One motivating truth to which all politicians agree is a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. Make hay while the bodies bleed. And that's become something that is just institutionalized in this country right now. For most prominent political figures, the question is, how can they capture the news of those deaths and exploit them, all the while expressing their deep concern and offering their prayers to their own advantage? In other words, how can the politicians, okay, these guys died, what's in it for me? How can I spin it to make something of myself? The gun control nuts are cheering the mass murderers as an opportunity to push gun control. The mainstream media, TV, and newspapers are cheering the mass murderers as a chance to attract a bigger market share and sell more advertising. President Obama is using mass murderers to advance his political agenda. Donald Trump is using the mass murderers to advance his political agenda, and virtually nobody, except their mothers maybe, really
you know
cares
what?
About the dead homosexuals.
Thank you. Don't forget Hillary in there. And you know what? There was even some, I don't know, Democrats. I don't know if it was the Senate. I don't know if it was Congress. But they had a moment of silence for those that were murdered. And Democrats actually got up and walked out because they felt, how could you have a moment of silence and not talk about gun control? And it's like, are you kidding me? And it always irritates me that it's a moment of silence. It should be a moment of prayer. But, and you're right. A crisis is a terrible thing to waste, and it really is a sad day. It really is.
This thing is blown up, and everybody... It's all just feigned. It's all BS. It's all smoke and mirrors. And that's what offends me about it. And it's obviously so.
Yeah.
Who really cares? I know some people do, but not many. But this thing has been blown up. I know that people in Orlando care. I know that the problem is immediate to Orlando and they have friends and relatives and whatever. Yeah, they're concerned. But the mainstream media and the politicians say, oh, look, something happened in Orlando, and we can use it to spin the whole country. And it's just, it's embarrassing, it's disgusting, it's dishonest. Here's another one from the New York Post, and the headline, Obama. We are to blame, not Islamic terrorism, for the massacre. All right, and it says Omar Mateen called the cops to pledge his fealty to ISIS as he was carrying out his mass murder in Orlando early Sunday. But President of the United States said we have no definitive assessment on the motivation of the shooter, but we know he was a person filled with hate. Well, again, I wonder how much hate there is in this country right now that can be traced back to a government that moved our jobs and industries overseas. I wonder how much hate can be traced to government that refuses to protect our country from invasion by illegal aliens and protect what jobs remain from being taken by illegal aliens and drawing our wage scales downward. You know, the government is a culprit in this thing. If we are responsible, government is chief among it, is principal above. I'm losing my words here, but the government's responsibility is central to what's happening in this country. We are on the verge of some sort of an economic problem. We're in it already. Everyone kind of knows that. It hasn't been a collapse exactly. All right, but we are still in danger, and it could get much worse. And who's responsible for that? And if it does get worse, what's going to happen? How many people will be forced to rob other people simply because they don't have jobs, they don't have food, they don't have money? How many will be forced to do more robberies, more thefts? How much of that is traceable to a government that has mismanaged the economy? In my lifetime, we've gone from the richest nation on earth to arguably, you could make the argument, given the size of our debt, you could say we're one of the poorest nations on earth. And I know that sounds like an irrational argument because you look around, you see cars and homes and rest of that sort. Yeah, but how much of it is paid for? And how much of it is still on the purchased with debt? I mean, your net worth is a measure of your wealth, not whether you're living in a billion-dollar mansion, but how much of that do you actually own? If you're indebted, if most of your apparent wealth is a function of your debt, you're not wealthy. And how are you going to pay all that debt? You know, and here's another one. This is from Orlando shooting. This is from Paul Craig Roberts. Now, he was the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury and Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan. And more recently, he's been an American economist, journalist, blogger. He's known as a political dissident, deeply opposed to most things governmental. I've always viewed him as a highly credible source. I don't read everything.
He is one I do like also.
Yeah. I don't read everything or even most things that he writes.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, until now, I've never noticed Mr. Roberts embrace what may be described as an overt conspiracy theory. But there are people who have been, for the last several mass shootings, or at least many of them, shootings, bombings, whatever. As soon as it happens, somebody's on the internet saying the whole thing is a hoax, and they had actors out there pretending to be shot or wounded or whatever, and the whole thing was just some put-up job by the government. I've basically not paid much attention to those claims. It's hard to imagine how you could get away with it. But there's some people that are convinced it's true. And here we have Mr. Paul Craig Roberts writing about Orlando. And he is apparently also susceptible to the idea of maybe these things are staged. And this surprises me because from my perspective, I don't know what the truth of the matter is. But if Paul Craig Roberts is prepared to accept the idea, at least the possibility, that this was staged, all right, then maybe I need to rethink my previous position on, I think, most of this stuff. I don't think it's staged. All right, I'm disinclined to believe that. Maybe I'm wrong. Roberts is an intelligent guy. He says before there can be a murder declared, there must be a body. Has anyone seen on TV or newspaper pictures of dead bodies? Bodies should be readily available. 50 people were killed and 50 more were wounded and are in the hospital. He says, I can't bear the prostitute TV and print media. Has anything been confirmed by any real evidence? And he's kind of right about this. It is odd. Where are all the bodies? Now, maybe they're there. I'm not saying they're not there, but it is odd that the news media hasn't picked up on rows and rows of stretchers hauling dead bodies out and loading them into ambulances to haul them off.
They left them in the building for how long in the heat of Florida?
Well, I don't know what's...
the question is, why didn't they remove them?
It is strange. He says, I saw CNN newscast heavy with verbiage of blood being all over the place, but the only visual evidence were three people supposedly injured being helped not by medics or first responders, but by ordinary folks.
I didn't see any.
About
ambulances?
Six carrying a person stretched out prone, no stretcher down the street. There was no blood, and it looked like a crisis acting performance.
And Al, there was supposed to be 300 people in that building. That's a lot.
Yeah, I know.
And you only saw a handful.
Well, you know, another thing he points out, he says, so has anyone seen any dead bodies, any body bags, any wounded taken to hospital ambulances? He said, allegedly, people inside the massacre location made cell phone calls and texted, but no one apparently took photos or videos. Are there any security cameras? No doormen. Which is odd. Somebody should have been sending out videos of what was going on. Somebody should have received this. Why aren't there a score of these videos of what's taking place in the midst of this? Somebody should have held up his camera and caught as the chaos.
I have
hasn't
seen.
Hasn't happened.
I told you I have seen, too.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know
what the truth of the matter
so
is.
He might have written this yesterday or even on... But I have seen two. But
two is
not
two.
Very
All right.
many.
Two. But again, he says no doorman. to notice a heavily armed person enter. How do you explain that? This guy didn't walk in with a Derringer hidden in his ankle or in his stocking or something like that. The guy walked in with some kind of something like a rifle. I don't know if it's not an AR-15 from what I understand, but it's something similar. This isn't something that you can hide under your coat. How did this guy get in there?
And I heard he was sitting at the bar from a person that was interviewed.
Well, sitting in the bar.
I know.
You can call me a little bit funny, but I don't think I'm going to sit in the bar next to somebody who's necessarily drinking, and he's also got a semi-automatic weapon with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened down there, but I can tell you after reading Paul Craig Roberts' article, I Googled Orlando shooting ambulances. Right? I wanted to see a roll of ambulances. There's no pictures on them.
No.
I Googled Orlando shooting victims. There's a bunch of snapshots of young men who look, young men and blah, blah, blah. Good-looking guys in a lot of regards and the rest of that sort of thing, but nobody being shot. Orlando bloody bodies. I Googled that. Nothing comes up. Where are the bodies? I don't know what the truth of the matter is, and there may be a perfectly good reason why so far we haven't seen this evidence, but Paul Craig Roberts makes a very interesting case. But where is the visual evidence to prove what has allegedly happened? Like I say, I'm generally disinclined to believe this sort of thinking, but Paul Craig Roberts is somebody that I am inclined to respect, and one of us is, has been making a mistake on this subject up until now. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We're out of time. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money, money, money.